Matthew 16, beginning at verse 13 and verses following. The Word of God says, "When Jesus came into the coasts of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, 'Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?' And they said, 'Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets.' He saith unto them, 'But whom say ye that I am?' Simon Peter answered and said, 'Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God.' And Jesus answered and said unto him, 'Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it.'" You may be seated in the presence of the Lord, and I want to pose a question to you on this as we celebrate our 77th church anniversary day. Amen. My question to you is, how do you see the church? Amen. Amen. How do you see the church? Hallelujah. You realize and you understand that perception is to grasp, to take hold of, to take note of using the sensory realm. And very oft times we see the church in terms of the sensory realm. You know, the sense of sight and hearing and taste and touch, and smell. But for many people, say many people, for many people, their perception is a reality. Amen, amen. We're going to give you some illustrations in a minute, but I want to share with you one experience that I had some years ago when Sister Sister Spurlock was principal at Clintzman, and I had gone over to speak at Career Day, and I was introduced as Pastor Jones from the Friendship Church, and I spoke to several groups of young people, and this one group had a young fellow there. He's, middle school age, and he said to me, "You're a preacher, huh?" I said, "Oh, yeah." He said, "What kind of car you drive? You drive a Lexus?" I said, "No, actually, I drive a Sebring." He said, "What kind of watch you got? You got a Rolex?" I said, no, I don't have a Rolex." But his perception was that if you were a preacher, you had to, number one, drive an expensive car, and number two, you had expensive jewelry. And for many, that's the way the church is perceived. They see the church as a country club for spiritual fat cats. They don't see the church as a place for helping hurting people. They don't see the church as a port in the time of a storm. They don't see the church as solid ground when all around you is flooding. Amen. Their perception is not what the Lord wants them to see. And for many, there's some in this building. Amen. Your perception of the church is not necessarily what the Scripture says. Let me give you an example. The Bible said that there were two men went up to the temple to pray. One was a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee prayed within himself, "Lord, I thank you that I'm not like other men. I give my tithes of everything that I own." And he goes on to talk about how good he is. Actually, he wasn't praying, he was reporting. T telling the Lord how good he was. And part of that, he says, "And Lord, I thank you that I'm not like that publican." And don't you know, we got a lot of folk who feel like, "I just got something going for me that you don't have." But can I tell you something, my brothers and sisters? None in the church is that good that you can look down on anyone else. Amen. All of us are sinners saved by grace. All of us were at one time where we did not want to stay. And it is because of the goodness of God that he extricated us from where we were and brought us to where we are. And instead of looking down on folk, we ought to be grateful and reach out to people. Amen. When you realize what God has done for you, you know there's none that would escape his capabilities. Oh, come on now, talk to me. You realize we like to think that we're so good and you've been so holy, amen, all your life, and you know that's not true. Well, let me rephrase. I know for me it's not true. Amen. I can recount things that I won't tell anybody, and amen, and you don't need to know. But I can tell you this. While I was yet a sinner, Christ died for the ungodly, and he made it possible that whosoever will could come to him. Amen. I can come to him without having two dimes in my pocket. Amen. He will in no wise cast me out. Amen. 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 Allstate won't always take me when I don't have the wherewithal to take care of business. But the Lord said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest." My question to you today is, do you see the church as being a place of rest and restoration? Hallelujah. Well, let's see. The Bible says, talking about church, the Bible says that there were two broke preachers going up to the temple at the hour of prayer. And on their way to the temple, there was a man that had been laid at the gate, begging for alms. And I would pose a question before I go any further. Who laid him there? Was it his family who failed to realize their responsibility? Maybe it was a church member. Maybe this man had been a pastor. Now he's no longer able to preach. And so now we go lay him at somebody else's gate. Amen. Maybe he was a faithful husband that now he has gotten older and he's no longer handsome. And his wife, no, perhaps a younger woman, looking for a more suitable suitor, brings him and lays him. But the Bible says, these two broke preachers go up, and when this man sees them, he cries out, "Alms, got alms for the poor." But Brother Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And the Bible said he took him by the hand, and the man immediately received strength in his ankle bones, and he began to leap and dance, and he leaped into the temple praising God. Is that the kind of church we have? Where when somebody's down and out, you're willing to reach down and pick them up. If there's a need, you'll go in your pocket and share with them that is necessary to make it another day. When we understand whose church it is. if we look at verse number 18, it identifies whose church it is. See, sometimes pastors get all beside themselves, and it become my church, my people. I don't have a church, and you are not my people. You're the Lord's people, and the Lord has appointed me as a shepherd over his flock. I understand my position. But listen to what Jesus said. I will build my church. Now, when I understand that it is the church of the living God, that the church is the bride of Christ, and it is comprised with those that are saved and sanctified. And they've been sanctified by him. And that we are in a union with him. Ephesians 5:27 says, and as the body of Christ, it is the fullness of Christ who himself fills all that is in the church. Oh, somebody didn't get that. We have been filled by him. If you're in the church, he fills you with his Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Without the Holy Spirit, you can't work for him. Amen. Why? Because we walk by faith and not by sight. The Holy Spirit lets us see in the spirit realm, and we're able to react to those things that we'll never do in the natural. I wish I had somebody that knows what I'm talking about. You see, when you're in the natural, if somebody slaps you on the one cheek, you're going to slap him back. Talk to me, somebody. But when you're in the spirit, you realize that God told you. Now, I hear some folks say, well, you know, Pastor, I ain't there yet. Ask the Lord to take you there. Amen. If we believe that God is able to save us, well, I feel like preaching today. If we feel like God is able to save us, and we do, don't we? Well, don't you know he's able to give us that is necessary to obey his commandments? Amen. We believe that he can do great things, but the Lord can do great things, but he can also do small things. Let me make it plain to you. Amen. If the doctor says you have cancer, amen, you know what you're going to do? You're going to start praying. Amen. You're going to spend some time with him in prayer. But if you go to him and he says, well, you got a common cold, you know what folk do? They stop by the liquor store and get a half a pint and put some lemons in there and make a hot toddy. Preach, Pastor. Now, if God is able to heal cancer, don't you know he can fix a common cold? It's your perception. Amen. God can do all things. When I realize that God is a God of loving kindness and tender mercy. When I see the church as being a place of comfort. Amen. Then I understand when he tells us, come unto me all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. It's a place of comfort. He wants you to be at ease. And that's why he gives us, amen, the Lord's Day that can be devoted to rest, restoration, praise, and devotion. And I know we've taken it away from the Lord. Now, amen, I've got an 8 o'clock tea time, and I don't have time to go to church. Amen, because I got to play 18 holes today. Go ahead and look at me. It's Sunday. Well, this is the time I get to go to Galveston. This is Sunday. Amen. The Texans play on Sunday, so I must tailgate. So now my church has become NRG Stadium. And boy, do I have a praise. Watson just scored. Let me tell you something. When the going gets tough, nobody goes to NRG then. When the going gets tough, when there's a need in your life, amen, 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 amen. You're not going to Mr. Bob who owns the Texans. Amen. You want to go to the Lord and try to get a prayer through. Are you going to ask somebody who you believe can get a prayer through? Yes, yes, yes. Now, 2 Thessalonians 2, 16-17, now our Lord Jesus Christ himself will comfort your hearts. And you know, let me stop there, because I praise God for the inward tenacity that Nelson and the lovely lady showed all through that crisis. Amen. There was an inner strength that comes from being equally yoked with the Lord. And I got to tell you, when you're going through tough times, the world can't provide what you need. You need the Lord in your life. And when the Lord is in your life, you might hurt. Amen. The Lord never said we would be exempt from things. Amen. We go through trials and tribulations, but what we have is his perpetual presence with us. He promised never to leave us, never to leave us alone. And I don't know whether you understand that or not. Amen. We wonder, Lord, what would I do? You know what you're going to do? You're going to do the best that you can do, and you're going to trust God to do the rest. But Paul says here to the church at Thessalonica, our Lord Jesus Christ himself. I love that. You know, words mean something. When he says himself, that is not a delegated task. The Lord's not going to let somebody else do it for him. He's going to do it for himself, for you. He will comfort your hearts. And then he will establish or help you in every good word and every good work. The church not only is a place of comfort, but it's a place of consolation. You want to be consoled? Come to the church. Amen. The church will embrace you. The church will love you. The church will show you what real love is. Amen. The world will use you, abuse you, misuse you, and throw you away. But the Lord said, if you've been abused, misused, come on. I won't in no wise cast you out. Only the church will do that. Amen. Do you know, boy, hallelujah. Do you know that there are some maladies, some insurance will not even cover?
That's right.
Just like there are those that will have certain kinds of insurance. But if you don't have flood insurance, I don't care how bad your house is, you got a problem. And when I say you got a problem, you got a problem. But God says, I am with you always. And if always runs out, even until the end of the age. You can't get a better policy than that. But he will console you. Philemon in verse 7 says, for we have great joy and consolation in thy love. The church is a place of love and healing. It's not a place to make you feel sad or disappointed. One of the things that I like to tell folk, when you come to church, you should not get beaten up on by well-meaning preachers when they beaten you up with the Bible. Go ahead and preach, Pastor. Too often, folk come and they know their condition. So you don't need to beat them up. You need to tell them how to get out of that. Amen. You need to be able to tell them, I was where you are, but God met me where I was, and God loved me too much to leave me where I was, and he brought me unto himself. And I don't know whether that's good news to you, but it's good news to me. Amen. God kept me when I was not able to keep myself. God met me in a low place, but he elevated me. The old folks said, he picked me up and turned me round. Place my feet on solid ground. Nobody but God can do that. Amen. If I tell folk all the time, if you go into a church where you get beat up every Sunday, amen, you come in and say, give him a beat. No, come to Friendship. We're going to love you. Amen. We love you because, amen, God loves you. Can I tell you something, my brothers and sisters? We would not know love except God first loved us. And then he gave us the capacity to love the unlovable. Isn't it amazing that God tells us that we are to love one another? By this, all men, we know that we are his disciples. Not because we sing good like the folk song this morning, but because we have the capacity to love. If you're not loving, you're at the wrong place. Amen, amen. Now, there are those that will love folk who look like them, folk who act like them, folk who talk like them. But you got to be able to reach beyond yourself and know that God loves everybody. And the reason I can tell you that, because he created all of us. The Bible said from one blood, all of us emanates. Thank you, Holy Ghost. A place of love and healing. So not only is the church a place of comfort, a place of consolation, but in the church there is no condemnation. And I don't know about you, but I'm glad there is no adverse judgment. Amen. We don't have folks sitting on the high seat looking down at us. Amen. Because we're not able to do what they can do. Are y'all praying with me? Amen. I've heard, and you know, one of the, and I'm glad we're past that now. But it used to be that there were those that would manipulate for you to contribute in the offering. It went something like this. I want all the men to stand and give $10. Now, they're going to coerce you to give by questioning your masculinity. Well, I know I'm a man, but I don't have a $3. Hallelujah. Am I less a man because I don't have $5? No condemnation. We, as a people of God, should not be affected by negative criticism. Romans 8:1, there is therefore now, when? Right now, no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. I don't know about you, but I walk after the Spirit. The old folk used to say, let the Holy Ghost lead you. He's a mighty good leader. He's leading us from earth to glory. I don't know about you, but I'm glad that he's with us. Amen. He's able to be with us. And I tell parents, amen, you need to be sure that you prayed over your children, that you've lifted up their name before him and let them hear you calling out their name in prayer. Amen. Because you can't be with them 24/7. But I got to tell you about a man who's there with him all the time. And for some folk, that's good news. And for other folk, it's not so good. Because when you stop by Joe's Bar and Grill, you left him out there in the car. He didn't want to go in with him. I'm having too much fun in this message. I want us to understand. That there is no condemnation when you're in Christ Jesus. No one can make you, amen, feel bad about yourself. Amen. Nobody can set a standard for you. There's only one standard, and that's the Lord Christ Jesus. Isn't it amazing that we will sometimes judge ourselves by somebody else? That's like two sick men judging themselves by one another. One man has cancer and the other has AIDS. Amen. You both in bad shape. Amen. If you want to judge yourself by a well man. And the only well man is Christ. They didn't get that. Amen. When we understand that there is no condemnation to those that are in Christ. Talk about me all you please. I'll tell the Lord down on my knees. When I tell him, he'll make it all right. I heard the old folks said, just a little talk with Jesus. Make it all right. Amen. And then I want you to see that we are challenged to be all that we can be. Amen. Challenged to be all that God has ordained for us to be. You notice Jesus says to Simon, he says that thou art Peter. Now, this really is a Petros. It's a rod, a small rod, but a rod. And he's saying that you've got a rock-like quality that is given to you by the Holy Spirit. For you see, flesh and blood wouldn't tell you that I am the Christ. It had to come from another world. And I don't know whether y'all can see this or not, but if you're in him, you get help from another world. Oh, I wish I had somebody here. I'm glad I can get help from another world. When the going gets tough, I can plug in to help from another world. When the going gets tough, I can call on him. Have I got a witness? Amen. But I want us to see here, Petros, upon this rock, Peter got spiritual insight into the Master's person and his word. But I want you to, now watch this, I want you to notice that it was not a great ecclesiastical preparation for the foundation for church. See, sometimes we believe that unless I go to the College of Biblical Studies and I complete a course, I'm the only one that can tell you about the Lord. Now, sometimes you got to spend some time in Kneebone College. Somebody going to get that tomorrow. Amen. You see, when you go to Kneebone College, you get a B.A., but it's not a Bachelor of Arts. It's born again. And when you get born again, you start speaking things that God wants you to speak. Have I got a witness? Amen. Amen. You see, Peter vacillated, between what God had for him and where he really was. Because if we look at this text in verse 18, you're Peter, a rock. And then we go down a few verses, go down to verse 23, all of a sudden he's become Satan. It's a challenge to stay with the Lord. That's the challenge. Amen. You've been born again. That's why we come to church, to get built up in the things of God. Amen. We don't come simply because this is time for stylistics. I just got some new clothes. And I want everybody to see what I have. Well, the Lord says, come as you are. Now, I realize that some folk will take it to the umpth degree. But, if you don't have any better, you do the best you can. But because the one person comes in a Hart Schaffner marked suit, and the other guy comes in some pants he got from Walmart, it really doesn't matter, because it's the heart that really matters. Amen. I can serve God with Walmart pants just like someone can in their expensive suit. So it's not the external trappings that makes the church. Can I go ahead and preach? The average church in these United States of America, according to a survey I saw just recently, has 70 members. Because, if you go to Sunnyside, you got a church on every corner that had 10 people. And so all we see is the mega church with their 40,000 members. But see, most churches are not the mega church. But see, for some folk, they feel good in the mega church. And amen. And you need to be in the small church when you can get some individual attention. Amen, amen. There are those who in the megachurch, nobody knows you. Amen. If your name is not on your envelope, they don't know you. But see, this preacher can stand in this pulpit and tell you when you're not here. Hallelujah. You ought to be encouraged by that. Because when you're not here, he prays for you. Since I don't know what's going on. But what I'm trying to get us to see is, you know, because you are in the 40,000 member church, you are no better than that church that has 70 members. Because if Christ is the center of attraction, that's all that really matters. Are you here in Christ and him crucified? I would much rather be in a 70 member church and the preacher talks about Christ than be in the 40,000 member church and they're telling me how to get rich. Amen. Can I tell you something, my brothers and sisters? Amen. Whatever you have here, you're going to leave it here. I'm almost done. See, some of us believe that we can take it to heaven. No, you're not going to take it to heaven. Amen. Only what you do for Christ will really matter. But let me tell you how you can send up some timbers. And it is possible that you can send up some timbers to the Lord. Amen. You can share Christ with someone. And when you get to heaven, they'll be there because of what you've done. Have I got a witness? And so when we look at the lesson, we are admonished to carry on. Amen. Carry on. Amen. That's comfort. That's consolation. We're challenged. But we're to carry on. Look at what he tells him. Amen. Amen. When he probes here, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Now see, there are a lot of folk who know about Jesus, but they don't know Jesus. And you need to know him personally. You need to have a personal, intimate relationship with Christ. If you don't, your life is not all that it ought to be. But let me tell you, we have received life by the word. Listen to what he says. And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, and some Elias, and some Jeremiah, so one of the prophets. But now we get to the $64,000 question. But whom say ye that I am? We need to be able to identify who Christ is. Christ is, and I'm glad that he is the Word. Amen. We have received life by the Word. It is the function of the church to pass on the Word, that others also may be quickened and they might be cleansed. How do we cleanse our lives? By taking heed to the Word of God. Then we're to carry on the tradition of the elders. I know that there are those that like to say tradition is a bad thing. But can I tell you something, my brothers and sisters? A proper tradition is a good thing. Amen. It's a good thing to say yes, ma'am, and no, ma'am. It's a good thing to come to the Lord's house in deference to him. Amen. Don't run all over the church. Go ahead and preach, Pastor. It's a good thing. It's a good tradition to have respect for the building. Because we're saying this is the house of God. Well, somebody's looking at me. Let's talk about spiritual fat cats. The Bible said that there were men who were in the temple. And Jesus went into the temple and they were set up with tables. They were exchanging money. And for some, they were doing a good job. Folk would come from a long way off and they didn't have money, amen, and that to pay their temple tax in the proper money. In other words, if they came from afar off, they bought the currency of that land. And amen, they didn't have the money exchanger. And somebody smart thinking like we are today, be able to satisfy folk who they set up in the temple. Amen, you need some money, here it is. Bring your money, I will exchange it for money you can spend in the temple. And Jesus comes in and he sees them, and the Bible says he turns over the tables, he takes a whip and beat them out, and then he says to them, my house shall be called the house of prayer.
But you have made it a den of thieves. Amen. Tradition says when we come to the church, we ought to come praying. Amen. We ought not come in our arrogance, but we ought to come praying. Lord, let me pray not only for myself, but for my brothers and sisters. Amen. There ought to be intercessory prayer where I know that my prayer is getting through because I can see Karen Foster come into the house of God. Amen. You know your prayer is being answered. For there are those that are going through hard trials and tribulations, they're able to withstand what they're going through. You know your prayer is going through when you see folks who used to walk like you know they used to walk, and God changes them. You know your prayer is going through. But most of all, you know your prayer is going through when you change, when you are what God has ordained for you to be. Amen. God has the best for us, but we don't sometimes aspire for the best. But I stop by to tell you, you ought to be the best that you can be every day of your life. Somebody said, why? Because you don't know when the end shall come. Amen, amen, amen. When I understand that life is uncertain, but death is sure, I ought to make sure that every day is a good day. I don't have any throw-down days. Marvin Zimmer used to talk about throw-down roaches, but some folk live with throw-down days. Amen. They throw down this day to get to next day. Now, you ought to live every day. So teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Some folk live like the devil and then they want to be able to go to heaven. Let me tell you something. If you, amen, if you live like you're in hell, you're going to die and go to hell. Ah, but I have realized that on this side, I'm walking in the newness of life. The things that I used to do, I don't do them anymore. I don't do them because it's in my heart. I'm closing now. You see, for some folk, they quit doing it because they're too old to do it. You see, there are some things when an 81-year-old can't do, amen, that he could do when he was 60. Amen, when he was 55. Amen. But when you quit doing it, while you're still able to enjoy doing it, you know the Lord has changed your life. Somebody don't know what I'm talking about. But let me tell you something. When God comes into your life, he gives you a new perspective. He gives you a new understanding. He makes the church important to you. That's why we don't forsake the assembling of ourselves together in the Lord's house. Because when I'm not there, I'm missing something. I'm almost done. The Bible said when Jesus got up out of the grave, he met his disciples. He told them, go on into Jerusalem and tell them, I want you, by the way, into Galilee. And I want you to also tell my disciple Peter that I'm going before you. And the Bible says, while they were gathered together, Brother Thomas wasn't there. And you know, we got a few Thomases that are not in the Lord's house when the Lord's people gathered together. And the Bible said, while Thomas was somewhere else, Jesus came in the room. For a lot of folk, Jesus comes in the room and you're not in the house. But I'm glad that he's the God of a second chance. Because the Bible said 8 days later, they were in the same room, but Jesus came. And the Bible said Thomas was there. Aren't you glad that God will give you another chance? Amen. When you come to church, the church says, this is a place where I can have a second, third, 15th, 28th chance. God will give me another chance. But why should I keep on pressing on the mercies of God? Why don't I just live right because it's right to live right? Go ahead, please, Pastor. One of the things that I want us to know is that God wants us to live every day that men and women will see our good works to glorify him who is in heaven. God that I serve is in heaven. And if God is in heaven, I want to know that I'm on my way. If I got a witness here, I don't know how long it shall be, but one of these old days, I'm going to have to quit the walks of life. I'm going to hear the servant, the master say, servant, well done. I don't know whether you see it or not, but I must work the works of him that sent me. Why is that? Why? because the night is gonna come. No man can work. My question to you is, are you working for the master? I want you to know, if you work for the master, there's payday someday. I'm gonna work while it is day. I want to hear him say, well done, my good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few days. I want you to come on up. I'll make you rule over it. I want you to know, Lord, church, you're not faithful over anything, and yet you want the Lord to give you more. If you can't handle a little bit, why don't we give you a whole lot? I want you to know, Lord, I'm faithful over what you've given me. I want to be trusted to work the works of him that sent me. I don't know whether you know or not, but God said, I'll give to you according to your several ability. I'm not going to give you more than you know how to handle. Can I close here? Well, let's see if I can make sense. If you've got a 15-year-old, you're not going to let him drive your new automobile day after day. Because if he drives it day after day, he'll no longer be a new automobile. I learned how to trust in God. And God says, if you start small, I can cause you to be elevated. Ah, yes, but we want to be elevated before we know how to handle little things. I want you to know, you got to be able to handle the little things of life. There are some things that are not worth fighting about. Have I got a witness here? You got to know when to pick your battle. I want to fight about some things, but some things are not going to get in the street and congregate, march and complain. There are some things that are not worth fighting for, but there are principles that ought to stand for. Right and righteousness, I ought to stand for it. Never got a witness here, but it's so strange to me that we're willing to demonstrate about all kinds of things, but we won't stand for right and what's right in the light of what God says. And I close, right is what God says in right. I don't care what you say, I don't care what they say, right is what God says is right. If God says it's right to give you tithe, it's right to give your tithe, it's right to have no other God before me, it's right. God, I realize that we like to have things now, a pair and a spare. Can I go ahead and preach? I'm not talking about illicit living, but I'm talking about we serve the Lord, but we also want to trust in what we have. But let me tell you something, what you have won't mean anything when the floods come. Beautiful homes out in the world, 8 feet of water up to the ceiling. What good will it do? I can tell you, I got a rock in a weary land. When the storms of life are raging, he will stand by me. Do you know it? Have you tried? He's alright. He's all right. Oh. He's all right. He's all right. He's all right. He's all right. I was talking, and I'm done. I was talking to Pastor Donzell Archie this morning. All of you know Donzell.
He's 6 feet four. He walked out of his house, he said, and he had water up to his armpits. Let me tell you something. When you realize that stuff can so quickly get away from you, you won't place your trust in stuff. Amen. I don't care how beautiful it is. He said he had two cars that were ruined. But see, you can't trust in the beautiful car. And man, I see some beautiful cars out on the parking lot. Hallelujah. Amen. Friendship ain't a poor church. I know. We like to tell folk, Lord, this is your poor and humble servant. You ain't poor. And most time we're not really humble. But God is a good God. He lets the rain fall on the just as well as the unjust. But there is a separation. For those that are in Him, God's going to take care of you. Amen. That's why He is Jehovah Jireh, the God who provides. Sometimes we don't even know how He does it, but He finds a way to make us blessed. Shows us favor. Let me tell you something. I'm done. This is my fourth closing. Favor ain't fair. Favor ain't fair. God will show favor to you for His name's sake. Amen. It ain't about you at all. He wants to show what a great God He is. May we stand, we shall extend.